This week, August 11th, 2015, on The Digital Story. The golden age of cameras. Senior portraits at Taco Bell. The Sigma 24mm f1.4 prime. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. So happy to have you with me here in New York. I mean, New York, in Las Vegas, Nevada. Yes, I'm here for the Photoshop World event. I'll be covering it for CT Digital Photography Magazine and for Rocky Nook. Looking forward to having a terrific week here. And I ended up recording here in the room at New York. I'm sure you'll hear some Las Vegas sounds over the course of this podcast here and there, because we had the Moving from Aperture workshop on Friday and Saturday. And then I took Sunday off. And then Monday morning, today, I got on a plane for Las Vegas. And here I am in the room at Las Vegas. So I go, okay, better get to that podcast. So one of the things that we'll talk about in today's show is Perfect Browse 9 by On1 Software. That is one of the little tidbits that came out of the workshop over the last few days. So I'll share some of that with you, and then we'll talk about all the other stuff. So I have a full lineup ready to go, locked and loaded. Let's roll the dice and get to that weekly update. The weekly update. This app is a nightmare of wedding photographers brought to life. Imaging Resource reports, wedding photographers might want to look away. A new app called Ceremony is looking to crowdsource wedding photography using guests and their smartphones. Available for download on iOS and Android, Ceremony allows couples to set up a dedicated event in the app and invite guests to join via email or a custom URL. Ceremony isn't going to replace what wedding photographers do. But one of the big problems that we have when we're shooting a wedding, anyone who's ever done a wedding knows this, is that you already have enough people kind of crowding around you when you're doing a couple shots, when you're doing group shots, cake cutting, all that kind of stuff. I call it the paparazzi. And actually what I used to do when I was shooting weddings is that I'd make a game out of it. So I'd say, okay, everyone, all the paparazzi, you guys stand back for a minute. Let me get my shot and then I'll turn it over to you. So I would do that. I'd take, you know, the couple shots and then I said, okay, paparazzi, do your thing. And then all the moms and dads and aunts and uncles and anyone else that had a camera then could shoot away. I'd give them a minute or two to get their shots, and then I would, you know, take back control and go on to the next shot. And it actually worked out pretty well. So what this Ceremony app might do is it might start forcing photographers to figure out, okay, how are we going to deal with people wanting to get shots? Because everyone that really gets into this, they're going to want to get good shots because they're going to want to be, you know, featured in this crowdsourcing app where the couple gets to look at the images and ooh and ah and all that kind of stuff. So you might have people, you know, getting in your grill a lot more than you did even before. So I don't know. I just thought it was kind of interesting to set up an app during the wedding that people could, you know, plug into and then shoot away and then have all those images go into a central area where they can be shared. Kind of fun. I don't think it'll be a huge headache. I think Imaging Resource kind of overstated it a bit. I don't think it'll be a huge headache for photographers, but it will be yet just another thing that we have to deal with at weddings. In other news, Petapixel reports, photographer shoots high schoolers' senior portraits at Taco Bell. Missouri-based photographer Brendan Batchelor recently received a strange photo shoot request. A high school senior named Brittany Nicole Creech wanted to shoot senior portraits at a local Taco Bell. In addition to being published across the web and being shared thousands of times on social media, Creech also succeeded in getting Taco Bell's attention. If Creech does end up with a successful career in modeling or acting, she has photographer Brendan Batchelor and a set of Taco Bell senior portraits to thank. Now, I have links to both the Petapixel article and the imaging resource article in the show notes of the digital story. But this one just made me laugh because, I mean, I love this girl. If you go to the site and you look at the photos, the ones that Petapixel published, they're pretty cool. I mean, Brendan did a nice job. There's some, this cool things where she's posing with signage and just having a general good time. And she's a good looking girl. She actually probably could be a model. And I know that Taco Bell retweeted some of her stuff. So, who knows what's going to happen. But senior portraits have really opened up over the last few years. I know I have shot them in a variety of places. And, it's no longer just, where the kids have to go to the studio and have a really boring shot. They can go anywhere they want and, have their shots and then pick the best one. And that goes in the yearbook. And then they have all the other shots, to use on their social and however else they want to do. And I just think that the whole senior portrait thing has a lot more energy than it used to, because it's opened up like this. And by the way, I don't know if you've ever watched it, but one of my more popular titles on lynda.com is Senior Portraits, Shooting High School Senior Portraits. And I interview kids on it and we do a real shoot and it's a lot of fun. If you haven't seen it and you're interested in photographing teenagers, I think you'll enjoy it. But anyway, I love this girl. I love her idea, and I love the way the pictures came out. And I just love the way senior portraits have opened up. It's a blast and definitely a lot more fun than when I was a high school senior. And that is this week's Weekly Update. Story number one, the golden age of cameras. So I read this post on Online Photographer titled, I Love Today's Cameras. And I thought the author, Mike Johnston, made some terrific points. And in a lot of ways, I agree with him. And so are we in the golden age of cameras? I think in a lot of ways we are. And I mean, this is not a scientific segment of the show right here. This is just something that I've noticed. And of course, I'm coming off a workshop where, I'm hanging out with photographers, enthusiast photographers who love photography as much as I do. And yeah, we're doing our work and we're doing a lot of stuff, but we're talking shop a lot too, especially during lunch and while we're, working on other things, taking notes and stuff like that. We're just talking about cameras and people are pulling out their cameras and I pulled out a bunch of Micro Four Thirds cameras and let the boys go shooting with them and test new lenses and all that kind of stuff. Talking about photography was a big part of the weekend. And so coming off that, having all those conversations fresh in my mind and just really seeing how excited people are about the tools of the trade right now. I mean, yes, we all love making great shots, and that's still the most exciting part of photography, but people are just really enjoying the tools that they have to work with right now. And I can't remember a time in all the years that I've been shooting, which started when I was 11 years old, that I enjoyed the tools of photography more than I do now. Nor do I recall a time where I had so many conversations with other photographers about the tools of photography and how much they enjoy what they have and how excited they are either about the camera that they're using or one that they're saving up for or what may be coming around the bend, in future updates. So I think in a lot of ways, in terms of gear, we definitely are in the golden age. In terms of output, in terms of the actual photographs that we're seeing, from people, it's different now, isn't it? I mean, it really is. The quantity is much higher than 15 years ago, for example. I mean, 15 years ago, my experience was I would see images by people I hung out with. I would see pictures in the newspaper and in magazines. And of course, you know, there's some still photography on TV too. But it was much more filtered. The images that I saw, much more filtered than what they are now. Now, as I'm scrolling through Instagram feeds and just on the web in general, the quantity of images I see much higher. Now, the quality of those images overall, not higher, because there are, you know, the spectrum of talent is, you know, so broad. But the people that are really good are still really good. And for example, all you have to do is go to the Explore page on Flickr to see how strong photography can be when you're looking at the best from that community at any given moment. So anyway, I'm not one of those people who are going to say that, you know, photography has been totally diluted and it's the quality is in the dumpster. It's not. There's just more of it, which means, in my opinion, there's more good stuff and there's also more mediocre stuff than ever before. But going back to the tools, I got to tell you, I just went through it right now, you know, when I got into town here, into Las Vegas, and I was doing some shots, oh, I don't know, probably an hour after I got here. I was opening up my camera bag and I was going, wow, am I going to go with the EM5 Mark II? Am I going to try out the Olympus Air on this shot? Am I going to use the EM10 with the Panasonic 17 millimeter? Should I go with the 12 to 35 f/2.8 zoom? I mean, oh my gosh, I mean, just so much stuff. And then I was monitoring some photos, you know, on my iPhone directly from the camera. I had the camera in kind of a weird placement and I was monitoring the shots and shooting it from there. So if this isn't the golden age of photography gear, then I can't wait for when it does get here. Story number two, I'm going to talk about Perfect Brows 9.5 software from On One for a second. It was one of the pieces of software that we discussed at the workshop this last weekend. So, you know, just to refresh your memory on what we were doing, basically this workshop was for people who had been using or who are using Aputure and have to make some decisions at some point about moving on from it. And you know, the timing of that decision, who knows when that's gonna be. I mean, in large part, we'll see what happens with El Capitan when it's released, the next version of Mac OS X. And if Aputure is fully supported in El Capitan, then basically everyone has another year to sort of, you know, think about what they're going to do. So we explored a lot of different pieces of software, total solutions, for Aputure, total possible solutions for Aputure, and then partial solutions. In other words, something where you have a really fast front end, where you're taking advantage of that strength coupled with maybe something that has very strong editing tools. So then you'd be using two apps that work in harmony to replace Aputure, the one app. So that's, I think, where Perfect Brows 9.5 came in, because it's an application from On One that allows you to look at a folder of images. It could be images that you just brought in from a memory card. It could be images that you have stored on a hard drive that's 3 years old that you want to browse through and find something. The images could be basically anywhere, but you can point Perfect Brows to them. And it just generates those thumbnails so fast. And it also generates the browser view really fast. And then it provides for star ratings, color labels, thumbs up, thumbs down, adding metadata. You can create collections or albums, you know, whatever you want to call them. Perfect Brows calls them albums, which are on-the-fly collections where you pull together images. The filtering is really good, so you can go through and rate all of your images really fast, just boom, 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 like that, and then filter you know, all the ones that you gave 2 stars, so you're just seeing them, tear through them again, upgrade the ones that are good from that batch, then you have your 3-star images. So let's say you start out with 1,000 and you have 150 3-star images. The whole thing, the whole process went very quickly because the software works so quickly and because it's so easy to use. So then maybe you only upload those 150 or move those 150 into Lightroom where they are cataloged and then use the develop module to finish them off. And that's what a lot of people are doing with Perfect Browse. They are using it with Lightroom because, let's face it, a lot of folks think the front end on Lightroom, even though it's capable, it's slow. It's slow. This whole thing of building previews and watching that taskbar and waiting for the images to be ready and all that can be rather agonizing. So what a lot of photographers have done, even ones that never even used Aputure, is that they've added Perfect Browse 9.5 to the front end of their Lightroom experience, are sorting through the shots quickly, and then only moving the ones that make the second cut into Lightroom. That helps keep your Lightroom library, your catalog, fit and trim with only really images that you're going to use in there. It speeds up the whole process of sorting through your images. And then the ones that don't make the cut, they can just live on a hard drive somewhere. They can just be there. And of course, you know that if you want to go back through them, you don't have to point Lightroom to them. You don't have to import them in the Lightroom. You just point Perfect Browse 9 to them, and then you can tear through them and maybe find a couple more shots that you want and either send them over to the Lightroom or, you know, send them into any other application that you want. I mean, everyone really enjoyed using this application, and it's interesting. A lot of people have the On1 suite on their hard drives, and you can get the suite right now for, I think, $99. It has all sorts of applications. They're very good. They had Perfect Browse in there and just never really had played with it, never really had anyone say, hey, see how this thing works? It's kind of cool. And so that was kind of fun for people who already had it to go, wow, I did not realize I had this really neat thing on my hard drive. And then other folks hadn't used it and got to play with it for the first time. And the way that it works is you can get Perfect Browse, the premium edition, which I recommend, for $59, I believe. Or you can buy the whole suite for $99. Really the best deal is buying the whole suite. But having this front end that will work for no matter what you decide to do in terms of photo management on the backside, whether it's Lightroom, whether it's Capture One, whether it's, you know, whatever you decide, this front end will work very quickly. And I think the front end is the real challenge that we're seeing on a lot of photo applications, especially those of us that had become spoiled by Aputure, and it's this fantastic, you know, file system management and, you know, how easy it was to rate and do all that kind of stuff. You know, we can find plenty of applications that can develop pictures, that can adjust pictures. That's not the problem. The real problem is finding something that we can integrate easily into the workflow that actually, you know, allows us to do the front part of the process. You know, and especially true for wedding photographers, event photographers, people who come back to the hotel room with a whole bunch of images, they want to go to bed at some point. So they don't want to sit there and watch the taskbar. They don't want slow performance. They want to tear through those shots, get to the ones they want, move them where they need to be, and then get some sleep. Perfect Browse 9, that's one of the nice takeaways that I thought I would share with you from this workshop that we just did. I think it's a nice addition to a lot of different workflows. You can do a 30-day free trial and just, you know, check it out and play with it to your heart's content. And then if you like it, you can either buy the suite or buy it as a standalone. And if you don't like it, no harm done. Just take it off the hard drive. Story number 3, the Sigma 24mm f1.4 prime for Canon, Nikon, and Sigma. So, I've been testing this lens on a Canon camera, and 5D Mark II to be exact, and I gotta tell you, it's a pretty cool lens in terms of value, in terms of quality, in terms of image, rendering, all that stuff. It is really top notch. Now, of course, the real question is going to be, who is it for? I'll get to that in a second. But anyway, so Sigma has been on a hot streak with their art lenses, you know, the 35 millimeter art lens, the 50 millimeter art lens. And this one for $849 just really keeps the ball rolling. Now, it's a hefty chunk of glass. It weighs in at 1.46 pounds and is over 3.5 inches long. So it is not a lightweight lens. It is a nice, big, it's a manly lens, right? It's very high quality. Now it has the remarkable f1.4 maximum aperture, which is not easy to do in a 24 millimeter lens, believe me. No easy feat. It has 9 aperture blades, so it's going to give you a nice smooth background, a nice smooth bokeh because of those rounded aperture. Fast autofocusing, the autofocusing engine is very good. 15 elements in 11 groups, and it has a 77 millimeter front filter thread. Now the manual focusing ring, it's well damped, and it also has override, which means real-time override, which means you can be in AF mode, and then if you want to just tweak the shot a little bit, you can just turn the manual focusing ring and it will make that adjustment. So that's really nice. The kit includes a lens case and it includes the lens hood, which I think is really a nice touch. And the whole deal is about half the price of the Canon equivalent, the Canon 24mm f1.4. Runs about twice as much. So great stuff. Now the images, center sharpness was good at all apertures, wide open on through. Edge sharpness started to really come into line around f4. Now, of course, I'm looking at this thing at high magnification. I'm not noticing edge softness when I'm just looking at the image. I have to blow this thing up and, you know, because I'm reviewing it. But the edge sharpness is not as good as the center sharpness wide open or even at 2 or 2.8. And then it really starts to come into line after that. CA looks really good. There's hardly any chromatic activity there, any distracting chromatic activity. Now, the one thing that I noticed was some vignetting wide open, only wide open. And so I thought, well, I'll do a little research and see if, you know, what other people are reporting on that. And I didn't find anyone else reporting on it, which always makes me nervous when I find something and I don't see any of the other reports complaining about vignetting. But I noticed when it was wide open that there was some light vignetting in the corners. I should say dark vignetting, right? Dark vignetting in the corners. What I meant was a light amount of vignetting, but You know, I didn't really find anyone else to corroborate that, so I guess I'll just put an asterisk there. Maybe I did something wrong, you know, sometimes. But I didn't have a filter on the front, and I didn't use a lens hood. So anyway, I'm going to stick by my guns at wide open. There was some a minor amount of vignetting, but I noticed it. I noticed it. Overall, just a terrific performer, and $849 is not cheap, but this is a hard lens to make, a difficult lens to make. Now, who's going to need a fast aperture 24 millimeter lens? Well, I mean, that's a whole nother question. I mean, if you're shooting architectural images, you probably don't need a fast aperture lens because you have this thing on a tripod and you're probably going to be stopping it down a bit anyway. So I wouldn't put it there. So I think it's more for event photographers and street shooters who want to shoot wide open, who are in all sorts of different lighting conditions, and you know, who want to be able to get the shot without maybe always having to add a flash. And for those folks, I think this is an interesting lens. Now, again, it's not a light lens, and you have to put it on a fairly substantial camera. I can't see putting this lens on a Rebel, for example. It just feels like it would be, you know, too front forward. But having said that, If you're already shooting with a DSLR and you are a low light shooter, event shooter, you would probably like this optic a lot, and that's who I think it's probably best suited for. So anyway, it's a terrific hunk of glass, and I don't say that lightly. And if you're in the market for such an optic, then I think that you will be pleased with the performance of the Sigma 24mm f1.4 art lens. Okay, let's take a stroll over to the screening room and see what's going on this week. We have video for photographers. Filmmaking Essentials with Eduardo Angel, I'm guessing, A-N-G-E-L. And Eduardo is a videographer and a photographer. And, you know, photographers trying to make the move into video capture because they have capable cameras. Now they can do that. And because sometimes clients demand it or they finally want to get into it. You know, if you're coming from that position, then this is probably a good title for you. You can watch it by visiting the Digital Story screening room page at lynda.com, which is lynda.com/thedigitalstory. There you can watch Video for Photographers 01 Filmmaking Essentials. And you can watch everything else that's available on lynda.com. You can sign up for a 7-day free trial if you don't have an account already and just go crazy. So anyway, this week's screening room selection is Video for Photographers. Yeah, if you want to get into it, if it's time for you to start learning what to do about video, how to manage sound, how to set your camera up, lighting, all that, this would be a good title for you to check out. Okay, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. I have an update from Sizzlepix. And this is, I was figuring this was going to happen at some point. Let me read you what they sent me, what Don sent me. Our product improvement to 5K ultra-high definition Sizzlepix has brought on cost increases requiring our raising prices for the first time since launching Sizzlepix more than 5 years ago. TDS listeners can avoid the new prices by selecting their favorite images and ordering them over the next few weeks ahead of the announcement. So they haven't announced it yet. We're getting a heads up right now before they announce the price increases. All of the benefits and warranties remain, including free mini samples on request. No payment required until the image is approved by our engineers for 5K ultra high definition Sizzlepix quality, and even no payment at all until February 2016 with PayPal credit plus our full guarantee of satisfaction. So in other words, if you've been thinking about ordering a Sizzlepix and been kind of procrastinating, because we never procrastinate, right? That never happens. Then you might want to not procrastinate any longer and order it before the prices go up. Really, you're getting a deal because, you know, they have developed this whole new technology. They've improved the product. And they've kept the prices the same for the time being. That something's got to give, that had to change. So take advantage of getting that five-year-old price right now. Get yourself a Sizzlepix, put it up on the wall and blow people away. Like I said, it's like a retina display you can hang on the wall, and now it's like a 5K ultra high definition retina display you can hang on the wall. Sizzlepix.com, and they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. Hey, we have another workshop coming up in October, the Fall Color with Safari West, October 23rd through 25th. It is an amazing workshop. It's our longest running workshop in the series. If you're interested, go to the TDS Workshops page. And, you know, we have it right up there in the nav bar. says workshops. Go there, use the send me info form. Three fields will take you 3 seconds to fill out, and I'll get you a reservation form. This is a great workshop. We got a good group of people coming. And if you want to immerse yourself in photography in October, this would be a great place to do it. Thanks to everyone who's recently reviewed the TDS podcast in iTunes. I so appreciate it. And I want to mention our good friends over at Red River Paper. I'll tell you, those guys, they are something else. And one thing that I've been noticing lately, I'm on their mailing list also, is that they've been putting a lot of paper on sale. So not only are you already getting a good price because, you know, they make the paper and they sell the paper directly to you, they cut out the middlemen and pass the savings on to you, but they've been running a lot of sales. And if you're not on their mailing list, I encourage you to sign up for their newsletter. When you go over to the site, they'll offer it to you. Take advantage of it. They don't abuse the privilege. I mean, it's you know, you get certain pieces of mail from, you know, manufacturers or companies that you like, and it's neat because, wow, there's a special offer in there. They have a new article. There's something interesting going on. I mean, if it's in line with your interests, it's a good thing. It's, you know, it's the spammy spam we don't like, the stuff that, hey, I never signed up for that, and I don't even care about this. But they run a good newsletter. They do a great job, and I just love all the, you know, the discounts that they've been giving lately. So if you're not in on that, you should be. And I'll tell you, one of the people that came to our workshop last weekend, John Hershey, he brought a whole bunch of Red River note cards with him, and that was the way that he was sharing his images. Now, obviously, he sells these things. He has them at all sorts of different locations in the Sonoma Coast area, Bodega Bay area. But, I mean, that's what he brought to show me what he's been working on, these note cards, and they're just absolutely beautiful. You're looking at these prints. They're a great size. The texture feels good. Nice stuff. Really nice stuff. I really enjoyed seeing those, John. Anyway, Red River Paper, they have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper, and they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. Sign up for that newsletter. You'll be glad you did. And finally, if you're ordering through Amazon or B&H, if you click on the respective ad tile under the products header, it's in the middle column, about halfway down the Digital Story page, all the Digital Story pages, that helps support the site. All right, well, I am going to get ready to explore Photoshop World. I'm sure you'll hear the goodies that I glean from this event in next week's show. And stay tuned to the Digital Story, the Facebook page, the Instagram feed, all that. I'll be putting pictures up from Las Vegas. Fun place to shoot. You know, this is a great town, especially for those of us who don't gamble and don't drink a lot. So I'll have more great stuff to share next week. Please come back and join me. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.